Thoughts on Amos, Amos chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, and then 5 and 6. 7, 2 and 3, 5 and 6. In wrath, mercy. Now, Amos is so grieved at these visions, these warnings to Israel, plumb line, the fire, the locusts. I put them in reverse order. The locust, the fire, and the plumb line have so moved this man that he cries out to God, that he is so grieved over it, to think that Israel will be suffering so much under this judgment of God. Yes, okay, they deserve it. I mean, this man knows that they've gone away from the covenant. He's not a preacher for nothing. He's not a prophet for nothing. But he is moved. He is passionate. He is concerned, and he's grieved. And it's a question for me as a preacher, as a believer, looking out on the scene, I complain that things are in a bad way. Am I grieved about it? Are you, brother? Are you, sister? And this man cries out to God, verse 2, literally cries out in prayer, and verse 5, in anguish prayer, and I challenge myself again, I must come to this. It's only while delineating and setting out the course of trouble. But this man is moved. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Will you not have mercy upon us? And he argues with God. And he pleads with God. Forgive this people, he says. Stop this. The people are a small people. Jacob is a small people, he says. A feeble people. And he cries out to God. Now, there's a huge mystery here, but we find it throughout the Bible. We know that God is not a man, therefore he does not repent. There is no change of mind in God. He is not a man, but he does accommodate himself from time to time and speak in such a way. He allows himself to be described in such a way that to teach us, I think it is, that he is so merciful, and to show us his mercy, he relents. He yields, as it were. It says in verses 3 and verse 6, so God relented. Now, I think that's a great mercy, but that's my title. In wrath, mercy. But there's a warning here. You'll notice that this relenting, this crying out to God, this moving of God, and this stopping of the vision occurred in two out of the three, the fire and the locusts. But the plumb line was still held there. Now, what do I learn from that? Well, in my mind comes Matthew Henry's comment on the two thieves on the cross. There were two thieves there. One seemed to have a blessed end. The other had a dreadful end. And Matthew Henry's comment was, this is to encourage us that there is hope even at the end, but not to allow us to presume, because although there were two at the end, only one seemed to have a good outcome. You see the point he's making? Encouragement, but not presumption. And I think we may take the same here. Encouragement to think there is mercy with God, and to plead for it, but not to presume. Unbeliever, the text I bring to you is, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Don't presume on God's mercy, but his mercy is there. Now, that's the bigger note. Two out of the three, there was mercy. So let me close on that with a hymn by Richard Burnham. Mercy divine is sovereign, free, and infinitely great, ancient as vast eternity, and most divinely sweet. The wondrous mercy of a God saves an apostate race, applies the balm of Jesus' blood, and yields a sacred peace. Pardon and life and heavenly joys flow from this living spring. Streams of rich blessing ever rise to make us louder sing. 'Tis mercy buries all our complaints and gives pleasures ever anew. Oh, how she triumphs o'er the saints and makes them triumph too. Rolls from the throne of God above, rich mercy's healing flood, proceeding from unbounded love through great Emmanuel's blood. The Spirit opens all the streams of mercy in the Lamb, while saints, o'erspread with radiant beams, adore the great I Am. Yes, my friend, mercy is the theme. But remember, there is still wrath. Two out of the three, mercy. But there's one here where the wrath abides. Encouragement to come and believe and be saved and to obey. But no presumption. May God have mercy on us.